Welcome to the Fedora Project Podcast, Episode 1, the Fedora Project Leader Talk About the Project.
Hi, my name is Elor Lucena, I'm from the marketing team from the Fedora Project, and I'm here with Matthew Miller, of the Fedora Project Leader, and we're talking about what is Fedora, how is the community, and talk about how the community works. So,
hi, glad to be here with you. This is the first of these podcasts here, right?
Yeah. It's been a long time of planning. Hopefully we can do several episodes.
I'm excited to start out the series.
Well, we like to start big. So Fedora Project Leader sounds really good for the first episode. Tell me about the history of Fedora. How Fedora start? How is this going?
Okay, so Fedora started about 15 years ago, really. Actually started as a thing called Fedora.us. Back in those days, there was Red Hat Linux. So Red Hat was a company, and they had a thing called Red Hat Linux, which you could either get for free or you could buy in a store, in a box and get some support. But they weren't making very much money from, and they their business plan was kind of like, maybe we'll sell t-shirts and hats. Which does not make for really a very successful software company. But it was a pretty popular Linux distribution and really one of the best ones out there. And so it had a big following. And meanwhile, there was this thing called Fedora.us, which was basically a project to make additional software available to users of Red Hat Linux. So find things that weren't part of Red Hat Linux and package them up and make them available to everybody. And so that was started as a community project. Meanwhile, Red Hat decided that they needed a new strategy in order to actually make money as a company. And they decided that they were going to focus on the enterprise market with a subscription to a fairly high cost value add thing that has become Red Hat Enterprise Linux, which Red Hat's a multi-billion dollar company today. And so it's clearly a strategy that worked. But as part of that, they kind of, that enterprise thing is focused on very big companies and big institutions with a lot of money and very different needs from small business, medium business, individual contributors, schools, and those kind of things. And also, some of the values, the things that make that valuable are moving very slowly, very deliberate and careful changes. And, 10 years of support, 15 years of support, that kind of thing, which is not necessarily what you want if you're, running on your laptop or running on your own, home server or, these days a cloud instance. So Red Hat, at the same time, they merged with this Fedora.us project to form Fedora, the Fedora project that produces kind of an upstream operating system that Red Hat Enterprise Linux is derived from, but then moves on a slower pace. So we had Fedora, and there was were then two parts. Fedora Core, which was basically inherited from the old Red Hat Linux, and only Red Hat employees could do anything with. And then Fedora Extras, where community could come together to add things on top of that Fedora Core. It took a little while to get off the ground, but was fairly successful. But there was also kind of a lot of problems between where community fit in and who got to do what and who was special just because they worked for what company. So around the time of Fedora Core 6, those were actually merged together into one big Fedora where all of the packages were all just part of the same thing. So there was no more distinction of Core and Extras. And so everything was all together. And more importantly, all the community was all together. And there wasn't a thing where it said, if you work for Red Hat, then you can have these packages. If you don't work for Red Hat, you can only do the edges. So and invited the community to really take ownership of the whole thing and for Red Hat to become part of the community rather than separate. And that was a huge success. It took a little while to take off, but that's kind of where we have Fedora as it stands today, where we have a lot of core contributors who don't work for Red Hat and who really can make a difference in the project, which is awesome, and where we have something that's been a really good base for Red Hat Enterprise Linux 6, and now 7, and now upcoming, whatever number comes out of after 7 is on its way.
Well, that was a huge step to the community. No, I mean I'm contributor for almost 3 years now. I want to talk more about what is the mission of the Fedora as a community and as a project itself?
Yeah, so we adopted a new mission last year, so focus where we're going. Our previous mission was kind of vague and hard to act on. So I don't know if this one's perfect, but it's kind of a step better. So our mission is, Fedora creates an innovative platform for hardware, clouds, and containers that enables software developers and community members to build tailored solutions for their users. So like all mission statements, that's kind of a mouthful. Basically, the idea is, we build stuff that the community and other people can take and then take to users and say, okay, hey, look, we solved your problem or we made something cool for you. And so we have kind of our big flagship things, our Fedora Workstation, which is a desktop operating system, kind of aimed at programmers, but good for everybody. And then we have Fedora Server for use case and Fedora Atomic, which kind of fits the cloud and container case. Yeah, so we've got some of the big offerings, but then we have a lot of other things that I think are kind of neat. Like I think the Fedora Python Lab is a great example. This is something somebody took a bunch of the Python stuff in Fedora and put it together into like a virtual machine and a Docker container and things that can be used so that people teaching Python in schools have something right out of the box they can use that has all this nice, rich Python stuff available to them. So I think that's a really good example of something that our mission enables.
Okay, that sounds really awesome. As part of a community, I think one of the core values is that we can take anybody in here. It doesn't matter if it's a technician, a computer guy, or if it's a designer, or if even a doctor or anything. So, but I think this is because we have something called the 4F, and I really like to hear about that.
Yeah, the 4 F's are the four foundations of Fedora. They go hand in hand with that mission statement and kind of represent the values of our community and kind of underlie the mission statement. And it's kind of like how we do things and why we do things rather than, what we're doing, which is what the mission statement is. So the first of those is freedom. Actually, let me list them all. They're freedom, friends, features, and first. So freedom is our dedication to free software and to content. So it's not just free as in doesn't cost money, although that's actually very important because we want this to be available to everybody. But we also want everybody to be able to share Fedora and come and contribute to it and have their ideas have impact on things. And when you get get that Fedora Python Lab, you're free to do what you want with it and to share it and improve it. And so software freedom is an important value of Fedora. Then the second one is friends. And I think you kind of talked about that as well, really, because everybody is welcome in Fedora. And we really are a group of people that work together to make this thing that is this piece of software. But to me, when you say, what is Fedora? The thing that comes to my mind first is the people, the project. And the people we meet at the conferences, we're online, you hang out on IRC, all these different things. Chat, there's a big Telegram community, there's all these different things that are, that community of people is really what makes it work, because there's a lot of software projects out there, but it's the people that makes it special. So I think Fedora is really cool there. The Friends Foundation is important. Then features. Features basically means we want to have our software be useful to people. It can't just be that we, do the easy things or we're an experimenting thing, but we actually want to have a software that people can use to get stuff done, right? So it's got to have the features that users need. And then first, it kind of balances that. Fedora's mission is to move fast, to kind of be on the leading edge of operating system development. If you don't want to be on the leading edge, then something like Red Hat Enterprise Linux or CentOS is probably a better place for you. But sort of balanced with the features, we want to make sure that we don't just have the first stuff that doesn't work. We want to have the first software, that has been tested by the community and actually is functional for people. So that's the four foundations.
Yeah, sometimes people call it bleeding edge because sometimes you have some stuff when it's really, really new.
Right. So I really want to stress, I really want Fedora to stay away from the bleeding edge, right? Like, so the bleeding edge is fine. And there are parts of Fedora where if you want to be an experimental tester, you can be in that bleeding edge. It's available to you. But for most Fedora users, you should not bleed. You should be happy using it, and it should be functional and useful without without causing, you know, pain and your insides leaking out just because you're trying to use software.
We can say that it's leading for public and bleeding for testers.
Yeah, right, sure, that's true. You know, if you want to sign up to be part of the experiment, then that's awesome and helpful. But
well, I know a lot of people that use Rawhide, and they have no problems with their software. So.
Yeah, so Rawhide is our development tree, basically, where I think there's a hat joke in there somewhere, like it's made out of the raw leather. Because, you know, Fedora is a hat, although you don't make fedoras out of leather. I don't know where it comes from. It's from, it was actually called Rawhide back in the Red Hat Linux days, way before time. So, but Rawhide is the testing development tree of it. So if you want to follow the very latest of everything, right as developers put it into the, you know, into the tree we're working on, you can run Rawhide. And yeah, several thousand people do that. And it is very, very helpful because that, those people bleed, so the rest of us don't have to, I guess.
Yeah. Well, when we talk about a community that is really big, like I think it's Fedora community, or when you have a project that is big enough, like any software that is out to the world, like Linux itself, they need to have a structure to make it work. It's not just a lot of people doing pull requests. So how these fit together?
So it took a while for all of us to figure out how to make this work in Fedora in a good way as the project grew. I think originally the organizational body in Fedora was the Fedora Packaging Committee that basically made, here's the guidelines for how to put together an RPM, which is fine when making add-on RPMs, you know, software packages for Red Hat Enterprise or for Red Hat Linux was the main goal. But as the community grew, and I think as the focus, you know, became to be more, this is Fedora as a group of people, not just a collection of software, we needed to have some more and different governance. So first, we had the Fedora board, and I won't go into the whole history lesson of it right now, but we've got it set up now. So the top body is the Fedora Council, which is about six people. There's and then some auxiliary roles as kind of the top leadership project. And a couple of those are elected. Some of them, like mine, are appointed. And, you know, I'm paid by Red Hat to work on this full time, which is a wonderful privilege. Then others are selected from the community, by the community to work on a certain thing. So we have an engineering lead and a mindshare lead, and I'll talk about those in a little bit. And then we have a couple elected positions as well to kind of bring a little bit of democracy into it to balance the appointed roles and that kind of thing. And this group operates by consensus, which is a process I'm really excited about. I think it's an important way to make sure that included in decision making. And so we don't generally vote on things in the sense of majority rules. If we have a decision to make, we talk about it and we try to come to agreement. And consensus doesn't necessarily mean that everybody completely agrees, but it means that everybody in the body, everybody who works on it feels good about the decision. And they can say, okay, even if this isn't something that I think is, I'm not sure I agree with this, but I respect the rest of you. And I feel like, okay, I'm not gonna block it. So but then if somebody feels really strongly about something, they can say, okay, this is important, I'm gonna block this. And then we talk about, you know, until we come to some sort of thing that convinces that person, or, we actually hasn't come to a situation where we need to do that very much. So it works pretty well. An important thing is that power, of consensus and blocking doesn't just belong to Red Hat or to anybody, you know, the elected people, the appointed people all have kind of share in this consensus making. So I think that's a really exciting, cool thing about the governance in Fedora in particular. And then we have several other different governance bodies. Because Fedora is so big, there's something like 4,000 people who participate in Fedora some way every year, which is huge and awesome. Would be too much for, you know, one governing body. So we also have a Fedora Engineering Steering Committee, which kind of works on the technical side. And then we have this new Mindshare committee, which is just getting kicked off. They're having a activity day coming up in a few months. And the idea of that is basically all of the things like marketing and documentation and the ambassadors and all of the parts of the project that aren't putting together the bits, but are on talking to people and growing you know, the user base and the contributor base kind of in the Mindshare domain.
I think thankfully I was selected for marketing to be in the Mindshare committee. So I'm really excited.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm really excited too, because when we work in the community, we start to see that some things are kind of, they were doing it this way all the time and it works, so we don't want to do it other way. But other way can be good sometimes. So Mindshare is going to put those, all these teams together and say, hey, we need to figure it out if new will be better, if old way is better, and try to refigure it out how to work as community.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. I think because you know it is a technical project, we've had a lot of people come to all this from an engineering background. And so if you look at you know at the engineering steering committee and QA and release engineering, all of that was pretty well structured and it all kind of made sense. But then we had other groups like the marketing group and the documentation and design and ambassadors who all kind of were in a little bubble and not talking to each other very well and doing duplicate things, and the ambassadors don't necessarily know what the marketing strategy is, and the leaders don't get feedback from the ambassadors. And so I'm excited Mindshare is going to fix all of our problems.
Yeah. You just mentioned that you are in a pay position by Red Hat as Fedora project leader. So what is the Fedora project leader and why it is paid by Red Hat?
Yeah, so I've done this for almost 4 years now, which makes me the longest serving Fedora project leader ever. I don't know, it seems to drive people crazy. Maybe I'm crazy to start with, so I'm immune or something. I don't know. But so the Fedora project leader, yeah, is the named leader of the project. But other than my role on the council, I don't really have the ability to order people around because it is a volunteer project, and even nobody at Red Hat reports to me. So I have to use influence to get things done, and that's true with volunteers as well. I try to show some things that people can plug in into, and mostly try and find out what the community wants to do and enable people to get the most done, and try and make sure that everybody is coordinated. Sometimes you hear community positions like this referred to as herding cats or something like that. But I think herding cats isn't right for Fedora because it's not like it's my decision to take a bunch of cats and send them in a certain direction. It's a role where my job is to listen to the cats and figure out what the cats are trying to accomplish and what's getting in their way from doing it, and kind of help enable the cats to all go in one direction together, not to herd them. So that's kind of the role as project lead. And then I also serve kind of as a representation of the project to Red Hat and try and help make sure that Red Hat as a company understands what the project is doing and what we want and need.
Just a quick question. Did you work for Red Hat before being FPL?
I did. Came into Red Hat, was hired to work on Fedora Cloud. So I did that for a year or so before taking the FPL role when the previous role, a previous FPL, Robin Bergeron, was ready to move on. She went to Ansible, and then did awesome stuff over there as well. But one of the things she really experienced a lot of burnout. It is a pretty high stress role. And one of the things Robin did when she was leaving was really try and set up the role and the governance to be better for the next person who came along. And so one of the things she did is help get this role called the FCAKE, the Fedora Community Action and Impact Coordinator, set up. And that's Brian Exelbeard. And so his job is kind of community maintenance and making sure that people all around the world are included in the project, and that we have a healthy functioning community, and that community grows. It's kind of a role that might be called community manager in a lot of other projects, but we don't like that name because manager kind of implies that you manage two things. You manage employees or you manage problems, right? And so Fedora contributors are neither employees nor problems, so manager didn't sound like the right title. And we came up with the current one out of trying to find, it's not the best name, but Ryan stuck with it. He goes with by F cake, like the dessert.
He's like a piece of cake too, so.
Yes.
Yeah, he's a great person. Hopefully we can have him in one episode.
I'm sure he'll be glad to do that.
Well, right now we're talking about how Fedora works as a community, how is everything integrated. But for me, I entered the community because a beautiful person called Tatika. She's a great, great contributor, a great ambassador in my country. But it's not easy to get inside the community, not because there is not accessible. There is a lot of tools we have now. What can I do for Fedora? That really is really helpful. But to get things together, see people talking in other languages, and there is a lot of tools in there, the Sanata project for translation, or the docs that use ASCII.doc, Git. For people that is not inside the computing world, like for example a doctor or maybe a lawyer or anything, how they can get inside this world of this?
Yeah. So if you're not a highly technical person, how can you get involved in Fedora? It is a little bit hard. We have some barriers there. I think one thing, the AskFedoraProject.org, and that's actually something we are looking at. Right now, we host that in our infrastructure, and we're actually working on a deal with the developer who lives in Chile to actually have him host the site and maybe do a little work and development on it. So this is a question and answers website that you can kind of, if you have problems, you can ask and get answers back. And so I think that's a really easy way to plug in, because if you know a little bit, you can help a little bit, and then it kind of can build up everybody's answers together helps. And that's available in several different languages as well. So I think that's a pretty cool way people can sort of plug in. I think, documentation writing is nice, although that's not kind of a technical skill as well. I don't know. Part of this is figuring out with the Mindshare thing how we can address these users and use cases better, and what is the most useful thing for them, and how people with a less technical background can plug in. If you have skills like design or drawing or those kind of things, user experience, the design team is kind of a good place. I think we also have a whole group that's the Join Fedora group. And I think if you're interested but don't know where you fit, talking to those people might be the useful to do, because they can say, oh, hey, I know, what are you interested in? What are your skills? Here's something you can contribute to and you can make a difference.
Well, for me, I can say that ambassadors is a great role, because they are called to be the face of Fedora in everywhere. So I think for people, it's good to know where is an ambassador in your country or in your place, and try to get in contact with him. And we're trying to improve that communication with the people. And I think that Mindshare will help with this too, because a hard part of being an ambassador is that you need to be social outside the world, and you need to be connected with the technical project to know what is new, what is happening, what is the software that is shipping. So I think the ambassadors need a new leading way, and I think I can remember that we are moving to a new paradigm of ambassadors.
Yeah, I think we used to have the Fedora User and Developer Conferences, the FUDCons, And we kind of got rid of those in favor of Flock, which is a Fedora conference that's very focused on internal, on the contributors and the people who build Fedora and build the things around Fedora, which has been great, but we don't quite know how we're going to do user outreach. So that all kind of has to be reinvented. I think there's probably places at user-focused conferences that ambassadors could go. And I'd really like to see people, you know, take things they've done with Fedora and show them off at places other than Fedora-specific conferences. Like take, you know, if you've made something with Fedora, take that and show the people what you've made. I think that's a really good way to help spread Fedora.
Well, I will invite you to the next FLISOL here in Chile to see how.
I would love to come sometime. I know I've been trying to travel less than previous FBLs have because it, you know, I'm in my 40s and traveling around the world is kind of wearing me out. Although I love to see other parts of the world and to see people everywhere. So I hope I do get to come there sometime.
One of these years
I will.
In Latin America and Spain, that is Latin, but it's not Latin America, we have a huge event that we call FLISOL. It's a free and liberal install fest. We held a lot of community together, and it's quite big here in Latin America. So that's the problem, is that it's the only event that is being held yearly. Other events are just one event here, one event there. There's not a continuity.
So there's not very many repeating events. So FLISOL is kind of the center of energy. There's nothing like the FOSDEM conference in Brussels every year in Europe. There might be room for something like that.
It's called something like Latin PyCon or Latin PyCon or something, but it was the only 2 years and then disappeared. I don't know why.
So Red Hat has a conference called DevConf that I just got back from in Brno in the Czech Republic that has been pretty successful there. And I know that they are starting to do one in India and in the United States. And it may be something that if those other replica conferences are successful, maybe Red Hat would be interested in doing an annual thing in Latin America. Sounds like there's room for something like that. I'll talk to the events people about that.
Well, we have community here, so.
Yeah.
Come to us.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that the Latin Fedora community is very vibrant and I think has a lot to offer to the rest of Fedora and the rest of the world. So I think that's exciting.
So as a last question, I want to ask you, what is the future in Fedora in the technical way and in the community way? In that two fronts.
Yeah. There's a lot of things going on. I think the thing I'm excited about this moment, Red Hat just bought a company called CoreOS, which has a thing called Container Linux, and they have a bunch of stuff around Kubernetes and sort of the container orchestration ecosystem that is exciting to other parts of the company. I think the Container Linux part is exciting to me because it's kind of related to Fedora Atomic. It'll be interesting to see where that goes. At the DevConf conference, there was a lot of talk about using OS Tree, that's sort of the base for Fedora Atomic, to make a better workstation that is more easy for people who are less technical to use, and that can kind of be kept up to date with safe updates, and so that you don't ever have a risk of putting your computer to a state where you can't fix it. So that's pretty neat. I think we'll see a lot of things around that in the technology space. In the community, the Mindshare thing is happening. We're also having a documentation workshop later this month. That's going to be, I think, in Spain, in Seville. So we're going to get a bunch of people in a room in a lovely city, and we'll say, you can't see the city at all. You're in this hotel room working on documentation. Sorry.
Please. We'll have some. Please, Brian, you don't hear any country or any city.
The idea is we have a new Fedora documentation site, but it's kind of sparse, and we want to kick off this new site to have a good basic documentation there and get a bunch of people who kind of have the skills to use it so that we can kind of grow the documentation, because that's a really an important aspect of Fedora that's been kind of languishing recently. So that's one of the big community things I'm excited about.
Yeah, if I remember in the past, the documentation was only the installation guide that is probably the same from version to version.
There's an installation guide and a systems administration guide and several other guides. They're actually very good, but they're kind of structured as books, and they're basically made to produce, here's a book that you can read, and nobody wants documentation like that anymore because it's not 1995. And so even though these were really well written and useful books, like nobody was looking at them. And kind of people kind of would like more, how to, quick documentation. I want to do this, how do I do it? Sort of things or quick references. So we're moving to a model that kind of has that look rather than the here's a book look to it.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you so much, Matthew, to come here. I know you are a busy man.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to do it. Okay, cool. Thank you for doing this.
No, thanks to you. Bye.
Talk to you soon.